Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for April 27th, 2007. This week, Justin Warner is going to tell us how you can make a machine that can make almost anything, and we'll learn about a new study that puts celebrities in their place. But first, Chelsea Wald answers this listener's question.
A listener named Porya emailed us from Iran to ask, what is déjà vu? Cognitive psychologist Alan Brown of Southern Methodist University points to three possible explanations: that your brain signals are misfiring or out of sync, that you've had the experience before but didn't process it completely the first time, or that there's one aspect of the experience that's familiar and that makes everything seem like a replay.
So let's say if you walk into a lobby of a hotel in Kansas City, and you know you've never been to Kansas City before in your life, but you walk into this hotel lobby and you have a strange, overwhelming feeling that this lobby is familiar. You've been here before, but you know you can't have been there before. Well, maybe a part of that lobby, maybe an ornate lamp in the corner off to the left, is in fact an old lamp. This is a lamp that you have seen before, maybe in a museum in Chicago, or this is a lamp that was on the table at your aunt's when you were growing up. So your brain picks that up and it lights off the signal of familiarity, but your overall cognition is unable to identify or localize what's making this feeling of familiarity, so you attribute it to the whole scene.
Brown is working on some experiments right now that he hopes will shed some light on which of these three explanations is right. And you can ask us science questions again and again by calling us at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT or going to scienceupdate.com. If we use yours, you'll win a Science Update mug.
Thanks, Chelsea. Air pollution from cities can deprive nearby hills and mountains of rainfall. This according to meteorologist Daniel Rosenfeld of Hebrew University in Jerusalem. Looking at 50 years of data from a mountaintop in China, he and his colleagues found that while air pollution has steadily increased, rainfall has decreased.
Not only that, but when we look at the day-to-day variability in the amount of rain over the mountain, it is going together with the day-to-day variability in pollution.
Normally, moist air deflects up a mountainside, then cools and condenses into rain over the mountaintop. But if that moisture condenses on air pollutants, the drops don't get big enough to fall. Rosenfeld says this effect could dry up alpine watersheds, causing problems for the very cities creating the pollution. Next, Justin Warner tells us about a device that could someday make most shopping unnecessary.
Someday, every home may have a device called a fabricator. It's like an inkjet printer, but it generates 3D objects. In fact, if you've got the time, the skills, and the money for parts, you can build your own fabricator using blueprints and directions from the website fabathome.org. The project was born in Cornell University's computational synthesis lab. Engineering professor Hod Lipson says fabricators have long been used in high-tech science and industry.
The challenges, though, are that first, they are inaccessible to most people. And the second one is that they usually make a part made out of one material instead of making a complete integrated system.
Although the Fab at Home device isn't as powerful as an industrial fabricator, a single machine can handle many different materials. Experimentation is encouraged. In fact, some of Lipson's students are currently working in cake frosting.
Of course, it's interesting just to print with frosting and make edible sculptures, if you like, but it's also a fairly interesting engineering material because it dissolves in warm water. So we use cake frosting as a scaffolding material. For example, if you would like to print a bridge out of gypsum, let's say, and it overhangs, you might print initial support using frosting and then wash that away.
Building Fab at Home is no piece of cake, but the website claims that a handy, tech-savvy person should be able to do it in 18 to 24 hours of labor. And while users have to buy their own parts, which total up to about $2,400, the blueprints and computer code are open source, which means they're freely available for anyone to revise or improve. To learn more, visit fabathome.org.
Thanks, Justin. After analyzing 31 long-term studies looking at people who went on diets to lose weight, researchers from UCLA report that diets simply don't work. While dieters reduced their weight by 5 to 10%, they nearly all gained it back, and then some. The researchers suspect that exercise may be the key factor in effective weight loss, and we'll be studying that next. In other news, researchers report in the journal Evolution and Human Behavior that fashion, whether it's music, clothes, or baby names, changes at a predictable rate. Their computer model assumes fewer than 2% of the population comes up with new ideas that everyone else copies. The model correctly predicted fashion turnover in top 40 records, most popular dog breeds, and other preferences. Finally, how big of a role do celebrities play in determining our preferences? Well, if you think you're not as susceptible to the charms of the famous and the beautiful as many companies seem to think you are, then listen up. Chelsea's found that you may be right.
T-Mobile dropped Catherine Zeta-Jones as its spokesperson last year and said it would instead use everyday sorts of people. New research from marketing professor Brett Martin of the University of Bath in England suggests that may have been a good plan. His team found that people who buy products to impress others were more influenced by ads with so-called typical consumers than those with celebrities. Martin says this may be because the unknown spokesperson seems like someone you might actually meet and get a chance to impress.
What this means is that it may be more effective to spend less money getting typical consumers rather than more money on expensive celebrities.
On the other hand, some of the nearly 300 volunteers had no interest in impressing anyone. They looked only at the product specs.
Thanks, Chelsea. Well, that's all for this week. Next time, we'll answer a listener's question about why kids have temper tantrums. In the meantime, visit us online at scienceupdate.com. Keep the questions coming, and thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.